This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sexology podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali. And today's episode is about unlearning, awakening, and redefining what love and desire mean after growing up inside purity culture. What happens when the story you were given about sex, about who you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to love, starts to crack? And what does it take to rebuild a relationship to desire that feels authentic rather than inherited? My guest today is Courtney Boyer, therapist turned relationship coach and author of Opened From Purity Culture to Polyamory. In this conversation, we talk about the version of Courtney who once fully believed in purity culture, the first moment that disrupted that narrative, and what it actually felt like to open her marriage while her husband remained monogamous. We explore how purity culture shapes attachment, shame, and conflict in adulthood, and what emotional skills polyamory requires in real life, not just in theory. This is a vulnerable, nuanced conversation about jealousy tolerance, self-trust, communication, and the hard-earned skills that freedom actually demands. Before we dive in, I want to talk about something incredibly common that intersects with confidence and shame in men's sexual experiences: premature ejaculation. About 1 in 3 men experience it at some point, and it simply means ejaculating sooner than you want and feeling distress about it. Whenever we partner with a sponsor, I personally test the product. When we tried Steady Freddy, it generally made sex significantly longer while still being pleasurable for everyone involved, which is exactly the balance you want to experience. It's a delay spray designed to help you feel more in control while maintaining sensation. Many partners actually purchase it as a shared gift for their relationship. You can get 15% off with code sexology at steadyfreddy.com/sexology. Remember, always read the label and follow the directions for best result. All right, let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sexology podcast. I am so excited to welcome Courtney Boyer to our show. Courtney, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
First of all, congratulations on your book. It's just such an interesting, powerful story that you shared with us. Your book called Open From Purity Culture to Polyamory. What inspired you to write it?
Oh, gosh. It's funny because my mom, she's been super supportive of me on this journey the last 3.5 years. And I would come back from dates and she would be like, you should write that down. Like, you should. And so it kind of started out as like this compilation of really dramatic, interesting dates. And then my husband and I, when we started to get to a really solid place, was like, you know, maybe you should write about our journey and your transformation from growing up in this completely different environment to being an openly polyamorous woman.
I love that. Like, and how that, like, similar to many of our listeners, you grew up in a more of a conservative community. Yeah. And then you had this journey of coming to the realization what would be a fit for you. And it seems like right now you are at a more of a joyous relationship kind of model for you. Can you tell us, if you could rewind back to the version of Courtney who was immersed in purity culture? I know you could talk about that. What did she think about sex? How was it? What does it suppose? What did it mean to be? And when did you start questioning it?
Yeah, I remember hearing the word sex and thinking, because I went to church like 3 times a week. I went to a Christian school, and But like people acted so weird around that word. And I remember flipping through my Bible and going through all of these different, like the kids' Bible, the adult Bibles, and looking for the word sex. And it was like never there. It was he lied with her or laid with her. He knew her. And I just remember having this like, okay, there's something kind of different about this. And then as I got into my teen years, sex really began to become equated with who I was, like as a woman, like what I represented as this combustion of desire that had the possibility to, you know, lead men astray and cause them to stumble. So I really equated my worth, my safety, my lovability was all tied to my ability to stay sexually restrained.
That's something I hear from lots of women that I work with. Sometimes women, they connect their value because of like a purity culture, patriarchal society, to their lack of sexual experiences. And then when they have sex, when they're in like later phases of life, 30s and 40s, sometimes they get disappointed because they feel like their partner now gave you this valuable thing, which is beautiful and valuable, but it's just like they feel they're not as appreciated. So it can be very, very layered. When did you start questioning these kind of concepts?
I would say when I did everything that I was supposed to do. So like I got married at 22. I had our first kid at 26. But by the time I was 30, I had 3 kids. I had 2 master's degrees. Like I was super successful and doing all the quote right things. And I just felt so disconnected, like from myself, from pleasure. My husband was, you know, a physician and was like more so married to his job than he was to me. And I just like feasted off of his breadcrumbs and never really questioned that. And when I started to think about, because my oldest 2 kids are girls, like would I want them to marry if they were heterosexual? Would I want them to marry or partner with somebody like their dad, like my husband? And I was like, no. And that realization to me is what really started to crack this image and question everything.
That is so powerful. Like you were at the place that it's on paper. It was great, right?
Yeah.
Like you made it. You have beautiful family, successful jobs. But inside, you were not feeling fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And I know you talk about this the myth of perfect Christian wife. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So growing up, there's this emphasis, especially a lot of times people will quote from Proverbs 31, and that's like the perfect wife. And she, you know, does all of these things and takes care of her family, but she's also independent. Although I do see that the independence part is pretty downplayed in most evangelical Christian cultures, but it's just, it's performative. Like, her worth is associated and tied to her ability to give and to sacrifice. And there was this, not necessarily, again, it's not overtly stated, but it's just the culture that you see and the examples of the women before us and around us, that it's this sacrifice and really treating them, they create themselves into these martyrs, that motherhood and marriage is this like grand sacrifice that they put their careers on hold and they decided to pour everything into their family. And that's celebrated. And that's really what the perfect Christian wife is.
Right. It's kind of like in this place of sainthood almost, right?
Yes.
You're providing for the family. And it's very similar to my upbringing. In many conservative communities, we have these archetypes of women kind of like presenting this way, selfless, and pleasure is not something that you celebrate for this type of archetype.
No, pleasure is either a distraction or it's a reward. And and that reward is only within certain, you know, confines. And even then, it's still accompanied with guilt and shame sometimes.
Absolutely. And when women own it, the meaning, right, that comes with it. And I love your story. So you opened up your marriage while your husband chose monogamy. Tell us a little bit about how did you guys land in that place? How was that journey like?
Yeah. So I had asked him for an open marriage 4 years ago on our 17th wedding anniversary. And he was like, absolutely not. nope, not interested. And so we spent the next 6 months really talking about why I felt drawn to this relationship model. And I didn't expect him to be non-monogamous as well. And he just had zero interest. And over the past 3.5 years from when we officially opened it, and then I did realize quickly that I was polyamorous, he is just even felt more secure in his choice to stay monogamous. He's like, you know, I mean, yeah, sometimes I do get a little bit jealous, not because you're, quote, with another man or, you know, I'm sharing you or whatever, but more so that you get to do these fun things and connect with somebody on this really like exciting, fun level. And that would be fun. But he's like, that's just a small part of your journey. And it's a lot of work and lots of effort. And he's like, I'm too tired. I don't want to do that.
That is beautiful that like he showed openness to this. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you guys cultivate it? Because I see the desire from many of my colleagues and friends that they want to have an open relationship, but their partner is not ready. And that's why they're not pursuing it. So tell us a little bit about that process for you.
Yeah, that was hard because there's not a playbook for that. There's not like, hey, how do you transition from monogamy to non-monogamy? And because non-monogamy is not a one-size-fits-all, it is so nuanced and it is different for every single couple and what that looks like and what the goal of it is or the purpose for opening the marriage. And so that was something that I didn't really know what I wanted or what it looked like. I just knew that I felt so suffocated by monogamy. And so when we were having these conversations about opening the marriage, he was incredibly supportive about, okay, I see that this is something that lights you up. I see that this is something that like you just have this connection with, and he couldn't deny that. And so I really appreciate that self-awareness on his part that he was like, okay, there's something here that we need to figure out.
How did you guys land on this place of how much do we want to know? Because that is also another place that I see many couples struggle, like when there is a poly-mono kind of dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's always been pretty like, I don't want to know the sexual details that you with a, you know, your other partner or other partners, but he is fine. You know, it's like the parallel polyamory, but the flavor of like garden party, you know? So occasionally he's okay with meeting or having them be a part of an event or being at the same event as the other partner. But for the most part, he has been pretty steadfast in what he feels most comfortable with. And I've just respected that most of the time. Sometimes I get a little excited and at least in the beginning, now I'm pretty much adjusted, but in the beginning, it just, because I didn't have anybody to talk to about it because we were so private, which obviously we're not now, but that was hard because he was like really the only person to process with, and which wasn't fair of me. I really needed to respect his boundaries of just saying, hey, I'd appreciate it if you just didn't bring this up and find a different person to talk to.
Well, it completely makes sense, Court. I have like friends that their partner is their best friend. Like you live a life with them. You want to share this kind of cool thing with your best friend. Exactly. So it kind of makes sense. But I know that like there are nuances and emotion that comes up. I'm glad that you are decided to be kind of like you guys land at a place that you feel comfortable. And I think the other piece is just very powerful coming out with this story, right? Like outing yourself. What made you lean into that? It's just very powerful.
It was actually my husband. So when we were first opening the marriage, I looked online. My sister was like, go to Reddit, you know, go to TikTok. And I did. And I saw these, you know, people on there. They didn't look anything like me, these creators. They were, you know, tattoos and piercings, and they had like four partners, and none of them were legally married, and none of them had kids, and none of them like were professionals. And there's nothing wrong with those people. They're a beautiful part of our community, but I didn't see myself in them. And so I couldn't relate. And so then I would go to their comment section and I would just see the most awful things that people would say about them. And I would literally just shut my computer or put my phone down and be like, I can't do this. I can't talk to anybody about this. And then after my husband and I got to a really good spot, he said, what if we created a YouTube channel? And I was like, yeah, okay. Cause he's not a social media person at all. Like he doesn't do like the camera stuff. He's pretty chill. And I was like, yeah, okay. And he was like, no, I'm serious. Like we need to create a resource for people to help them, like people who are like us. And it was one of the most like connected erotic moments for me to see him like in that, because from when we started, when he asked like, what is wrong with you? Like, why would you ask me for an open marriage with such disgust, to him being the one that wants to like out us to the world? It was just because he believes so much in what we've created. And that was, yeah, I was proud of that.
And thank you for sharing your story, creating the content. You're right. Oh, representation really matters, because sometimes people find themselves drawn to this different models of relationship. And right, it's really hard if you don't have a template. Right? Like, who representation? Who can I connect right with? Hearing people's stories can help others to feel validated. And also the shame that comes with owning your pleasure, wanting to something different, especially if you come from a conservative culture or purity culture. And unlearning, as therapists, you also know, is very powerful. So what is, do you have any experience, kind of suggestion, exercises, things that you invite people to think about when they want to kind of move toward unlearning shame around these topics?
One of the things that I didn't realize was how disconnected I was from my body. And that was something that the whole polyamory, dating, being sexually intimate with another human, other than, you know, the one that I'd been with for so long, it really forced me to like, oh, I need to embody. Like, I need to really be here, because what's the point if I'm checked out during sex? Because that is a part, at least for me, of my polyamory and, you know, being in relationship and being fully present and emotionally connected. And so I had to consciously and intentionally choose to be present and embodied and be okay with my body when I was like partnering with another person. And so one of the things I encourage people to do is just to really acknowledge, like, you don't even have to love your body, like just acknowledge that your body has reactions, sensations, and just be like, make peace with that. You don't have to like go from, I hate my body and I'm so disconnected, to, oh my gosh, I love my body. Like, it's the best. It's more of coming to that neutral spot of just saying, okay, there's no good or bad. It's no, you know, performance or response. It's just, I'm just noticing and I'm just witnessing and being present in this situation.
I love that. Kind of like, first of all, be really attuned to what is the purpose of this, right? Because sometimes when we are coming from a kind of purity culture, it's like more of duty, right? Like, we're doing sex because it's another duty, but they're coming from this place of curiosity, owning this, what I'm excited about, and having kind of checking in with yourself and going. I think it's one thing when you have more of kind of casual encounters versus being in polyamorous relationships. I mean, in theory, people kind of can have an idea, if they are not in a polyamorous community, how polyamory look like. But as a person in a monogamous relationship transitioning to polyamory, what's been some of the skills, things, and or kind of aspect of yourself that you've discovered that it was more front and center, or things that you have learned?
Oh, gosh, the hands down, self-trust. Like, that is something, because when you grow up in a controlling religion, they do not want you to trust yourself. They want you to trust them, to trust authority. And so you learn to just shut off that intuitive voice and just be like, nope, that's a distraction. That's going to lead me astray. So I had to really come home and befriend myself and start to really trust her. And so when I am in these relationships with other men, having to trust, like, oh, this doesn't feel right. Like, this, I'm not really liking where this is going. Or the opposite, like, man, this does feel good. This does feel safe. And learning to trust my perception, my needs, and the timing of the relationships.
Do you still hear the negative messaging at times when you are engaging with other people or with your desires? The reason I'm asking is that I'm very out about my sexual life, about things I like, but at times I hear this like almost automatic voice at times that gets on, right? That shame-based voice that you're noting. I'm kind of curious about what's been your experience with managing that critical voice, or you even notice it?
I think the only critical voice that I've been dealing with lately, I think it takes different flavors, like depending on the season and where I've been at. So for me right now, one of the things that I struggle with is why, I guess maybe there's two things. The first one is why am I attracted to partners that want to hide me? So there's a shame because typically I date younger men. And so there's this age gap that it's not usually like visible, you know, and you're like, oh my God, he's like half your age. It's not like that kind of thing, but it's about 10-ish years. And so a lot of these men aren't out as dating married older women. And so then in the past, they've hidden me and that hurts. Like that doesn't feel good. And so I had to really sit with that for a long time. And when I was writing Opened, that was something I had to revisit a lot. And when I was writing about the relationship, so that was probably that, like, why am I not like worthy enough or good enough to be publicly out with somebody who supposedly loves me or cares about me? And then I think the other one is probably because we get asked this on our YouTube channel, like, we would love to see one of Courtney's other partners come on the show or come on and, you know, talk. And I don't have another partner right now. And I haven't had another partner in a year. And so in polyamory, sometimes it can, especially when you see a lot of other creators who have like multiple partners and they're like, oh, I went here and then this partner. And like, and that's, I really truly am happy for them. But sometimes I think that voice comes on. It's like, oh, like, what's wrong with you that you can't keep a relationship?
There could be, I think it can be very layered. First of all, thank you for sharing that and kind of sharing your honest experience. And also it can be very layered, right? Because like they're going to representation, what does it supposed to look like? What does it supposed to feel like? Am I doing it right? Because the only thing that people have taught us, like historically, is monogamy. It's like, it's not even a successful version of monogamy, but what do we know what that's supposed to look like? And the one thing you brought up that was very interesting, I noticed a huge shift toward age gap dating, women dating younger men and being more compatible. What's your thoughts about that? Why do you think it is more of a shift that we're seeing?
One of the things that, and this has just been my experience, is when the reason I think I've been drawn more to younger men versus men my own age, because at first I only dated men within like a 3 or 5 year window of me. And then I started to be like, oh my God, this guy does not look like he's 28, but hot damn, like, okay, let's explore this. There's like a level of respect that younger men have towards women, like older women. And there's a curiosity. There's like a level of reverence, even like, man, you have so much experience. You have so much wisdom. It's not that, I mean, yes, some have been like, oh, what can you teach me? But other men really are like, you're just a wealth of wisdom. And I want to be a part of that journey. I want to be in your sphere, in your aura, versus men my age or even slightly older. I've never dated anybody older, 5 years older than me. It's more like, okay, you're like, what's your big deal? Like, you grew up the same way I did. You're around the same age as me. You've got the same life experience. There's not that curiosity. And there's a lot more stubbornness, I find, too. Whereas younger guys tend to be more open-minded and really open to what the older women are interested in.
I love that. And I think I hear it about, like, when I have conversation with men talking about the respect, wisdom, and also for especially many heterosexual men, the embodiment. Then it comes mm-hmm. when women are older because, like, more comfortable. They know who they are, hopefully. And then
yes.
That's just on its own. It's very sexy. So for our listeners that they find themselves drawn to, like, they're in monogamous relationship, they're drawn mm-hmm. to some type of open relationship, what's your invitation that you have for them, like kind of exploring it with the partner?
I always, when I get asked this through, you know, or comments or DMs, I always say, identify your why. Like, why are you drawn to this? Like, it is, I have, you know, sometimes these guys would be like, oh man, it's so hot. Like, my girlfriend and I will go to the strip club and I'll watch her with another woman. And we just get like so turned on. We're thinking of opening our relationship. And I was like, sorry to tell you, friend, but a paid sexual interaction with somebody is significantly different than what you're talking about. And there's nothing wrong with either one, right? They're both great. But just like, let's manage expectations. And also, what are you hoping to bring? Are you just wanting to add some spice to your relationship? Are you wanting to, like, expand, you know, your capabilities of your emotional capacity? Are you wanting to have different interests that you get to experience with different people? Like, there's no right or wrong answer, but if you don't have a strong why, you will crumble really fast because society does not celebrate non-monogamy. It shames it. And so if you aren't secure in why you want to do this non-conformist thing, it's going to be tough.
Absolutely. Kind of have knowing your why, talking about it with a partner. And also, yeah. I know for many women, like having your own back, there's nothing wrong with wanting something different, right? Kind of going back and ashamed. Like it's not that you're, because you want to prioritize pleasure, like you're a bad mom, you're a bad person. It's just like you deserve it.
Yes, you do. Yeah. I get called that a lot too. I've been told, you know, you need to focus on your kids. You're setting a bad example for your kids. And I can't think of a better example than a mom showing like her most authentic self and going after the things that matter. And it's, I'm not going after men. Like that's not what matters. What matters is being in a life that feels pleasure filled and that you get joy from different kinds of relationships and you don't put limits on it. At least for me, that's what feels good. And my kids see me come home filled and like full of energy and joy and excitement. And they see that I'm intentional with them and their dad. And they love that. My relationship with my kids has significantly improved since this whole journey began.
I appreciate your naming it and sharing it because I find many women they find themselves at a place of dimming their own light. And that yes. impacts how they show up in the marriage, at work, or children. Like when you are bringing your light, and as you said, you're filled with joy and happiness, it the whole system improves.
Yes, yes.
Well, I love that you have a YouTube channel, you have your book. I bet many of our listeners, they are curious to learn more about you and all the content that you put out there. What are some of the places they can access the content?
Sure. So the YouTube channel and one of the Instagram accounts is the Mono Poly Couple. It looks like Monopoly, which is funny because, you know, it's not a board game. But and then my website is CourtneyBoyerCoaching.com. And all my other social media is Courtney Boyer Coaching.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much for coming in the show. I recommend people to get the book, Leaning to Learning from You, because that's the question we get a lot. Like many people want to be exploring the mono-poly dynamic. So that would be a great place for them to learn more about you and your relationship. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with our listeners today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Bye there.
As we wrap up, I hope this conversation invites you to gently examine the stories you were handed about sex, love, and worthiness. Whether or not polyamory is part of your path, the deeper invitation here is about autonomy, about choosing relationships consciously rather than inheriting them unconsciously. Unlearning shame is rarely dramatic. It's usually subtle. It's noticing when your body feels safe, when your voice feels clearer, when desire no longer feels like something to hide. And before we close, one more reminder. If control and confidence in bedroom is something you're working on, Steady Freddy, our sponsor, is offering 15% off with code sexology at steadyfreddy.com/sexology. Thank you for being here, for staying curious, and for doing the courageous work of rewriting your story. I'll see you in the next episode of the Sexology Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.